Back to old school with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
.504 in Lincoln, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school. We are live at 1040 O Street. Beautiful day out on this Thursday. Thirsty Thursday, if you got to listen to Kevin Meyer, Meyer Cork and Bottle, and Eric Strickland. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients Butcher Shop. Two locations in Lincoln, 84th and Havelock, 33 Yankee Hill. It'd be a perfect day to fire up that grill, though. Man, it's beautiful outside. No wind.
You grilling for our staff meeting tonight? I can carry if you want to go grill for us.
Nah, I wish I was, man, but no, not today.
Dang.
Not today. Next time. But anyways, you know, it was the first, I think today was a good day. It was the first time you had, you know, all the quarterbacks talking in the spring. But obviously with Dylan Raiola flipping to Nebraska, it obviously was a big get for the, you know, the whole, you know, university and state. I thought it was good the first time that he got to talk and see how he carried himself, listen to him. Maybe get a little bit of an insight on what his mindset is. And, you know, I know him personally, so I think it's, you know, very. He has a good mindset for the game, and can be a special player. But he's got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of improving to do. But he's willing to, you know, knows that, and he's willing to go for it. So,
you want to hear from him? We got some cuts.
Yeah, let's see what little Dylan talking about. A little Dilly.
All right. Here's your nephew. On how did you set expectations for yourself?
I just try to take it day by day. You know, we have the spring right now, so just, you know, really focus on each day of spring ball and take every day as its own. And then, you know, not try to think too far ahead. You know, I want to get the connection down with the guys and really just be around them, you know, just get to know them, get comfortable with them, and that's the main focus.
Yeah, I like it, man. I mean, it's, you know, you got to win the day and you got to focus on what's in front of you. You know, when, you know, I tell my basketball players, you know, one possession at a time, one play at a time. He's too young and doesn't have experience enough to start to look forward, to look past even the first rep in practice. Every day, everything that he does is a learning experience. And so it's a good mindset to have, and it's good that he understands, you know, what's in front of him and understand that he has to, you know, I like it that he's not even thinking about the season, worried about spring. This, you know, these spring practices are his games in his season right now. So he has to try to win this day, which is his season, and he's got to try to win every day. And it doesn't just, you know, it doesn't stop. Or it's not just the days that you're practicing. It's the days that you're not practicing. It's how you recover. It could be because you have to learn how to take care of yourself at a higher level now so you can be as fresh mentally, physically, and spiritually to be the player that you want to be. And then just have realistic expectations. I mean, a lot of it, you know, a lot of his success will be dependent on how everybody else plays around him and then how he is able to play with them and within the system. And so it's a collaborative effort. I mean, obviously the quarterback, you know, gets a lot of credit and gets a lot of blame for everything. And so you got to make sure that you're willing and able to deal with some adversity, because there will be some adverse times. This is the best league that you can be in.
It's been a lot of fun.
Or the SEC or whatever. So, you know, so he's playing the best of the best. And so that's what he's got to prepare like.
My bad. Wrong button.
That's all right. Let's see what he has to say.
Mentioning those other playmakers, developing chemistry with the wide receivers. Here we go.
It's been a lot of fun. You know, they come in every day, work really hard, study their tape, and, you know, they go out on the field and they make a lot of big plays. You know, they take the pressure off of us, and they go and catch the ball when they need to, get open to routes when they, you know, when their number's called. So it's been a lot of fun. They work really hard, and, you know, off the field, they're a really good group of guys to be around.
Yeah, that's good, man. I mean, it's, you know, you want to just be a part of the group. You know, I mean, you just want to come in and do your job and be an asset to the team. Get to know the players outside of, you know, practicing, and so you can get that connection on to all the receivers, because you never know who you're going to play with. I think Nebraska, you know, obviously you have Jamal Banks and, you know, some of the guys that played last year, you know, obviously with Lloyd, you know, sure, Doss, you got some of the young guys even coming in. You got Malachi Coleman that's on the mend. You got Nayer that's, you know, if he's healthy, he's an established player. And then you got the tight end group as well. So you got obviously those guys, and you got Carter Nelson coming in, you got Thomas Fedoni, Borkature. So he has a like the depth of players that have played. Now you need to, you know, create continuity with all of them, because obviously you're expecting all of them to contribute at some form or fashion in some level all season long. And so he's doing everything he do. Every, like I said, winning every single day individually and collectively is going to be better for the team.
So what we talked about, the three different teams that these guys are split up into. The receivers listed on Dylan Raiola's team are Ja'Cory Barney, freshman out of Miami, Demetrius Bell, who redshirted last year, and then who had
a great offseason for him. And I don't mean to cut you off, is that, you know, I think Marcus Satterfield talked about him at one point, maybe last year, I think, where, you know, he came in, you know, a little underweight or, you know, underdeveloped. And he dove right into Corey Coleman's weight program and the nutritionist. And by the end of the season, he was saying, man, he's 15, 20 pounds of good weight, and he's gotten faster, and he's kept his quickness. And I think he was somebody that they were really pleased with at the redshirt level or practice squad. Now he's get the, you know, look, they're young guys developing together. You got to go through it together, man. I mean, it's the way it is. And I don't know when they'll change. I don't know how they decide who's on whose team, but I think it's a good starting point for all of them to create some continuity, create some competitive or competitive environment, and see, you know, who's standing at the end of the game. We almost had our first hit right there. Oh yeah! Did you see it? Did you see it?
He's still just strolling. Look at him.
Yeah. Hey, and he got mad at him too. He hit the car. Hey man, this is. They look at him.
Here
look
comes
at,
here, the legend. Here, if you here, didn't here see he is. Here's the look legend. There he is.
Walk look at him. Walk. Steel. Look at him. Got the Hoka shoes on. Got the Parka on. He got bumped by the car, man. I would have been all on that hood. Dead.
Jumping on him.
Yeah. No, I would have just been laid out. I'm dead. I would have just
killed me.
Yeah, you killed me. I would have been shaking and everything.
Show me that money.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been a whole deal right there. Don't touch me. You know what I mean? Like, don't touch me. So
Dylan isn't green to that point. Yeah. We're in the green no contact jersey, but we mentioned the receivers he's throwing with on his team, but not on his team. Like, he's not just throwing to Barney, Bell, and Lloyd. Like, he is getting reps with Banks and Nair and Coleman and Doss, right? Somewhere?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. I mean, they're doing, obviously, when you do team takeoff and stuff like that, I'm sure they're doing one-on-ones, you know, with the receivers and see with the quarterbacks and all that. So I'm sure he's getting reps with all of them. I think these are just the teams that they're in at some point in time, and they're somehow, you know, creating a competitive environment and keeping a tally. What is that? Why are you trying to do that? Is because you're trying to make sure that every day you come to practice, it's a competitive nature. And you can kind of, you know, form some, you know, team bonding that way. You know, I think for him, he's just got to continue to work every single day and get better at, you know, because one thing, you know, but when you're a young player, and I get to talk about this at the end of the first hour, is, you know, there might be a defense that you might not understand fully at when it's first initially introduced, at least in my case. And then when you're like operating that defense or in that call, you might be a little like slow or sluggish because you're I'm thinking while I'm playing. Well, then the light goes on, and then you look a lot different. The funny thing about it when you're a young guy is like you think you arrived and made it because you figured something out. Well, guess what happened? You put so much you didn't time manage enough or good enough that you put so much effort trying to figure out this Rubik's Cube. The easier one that you got introduced that you probably were doing, say, like what we used to call 11 robber, which is essentially man-to-man, cover three, cover, you know, which is, you know, we used to run, you know, three or tray or whatever. That then you go back, then you stub your toe on that. So the hardest thing for young guys to do is continue to stack good days on good days. And then when you get to week two or week three and they put in some of the basic stuff, that's your foundation stuff. You got to make sure that you continue on a day-to-day basis. Start at zero every day when you're starting, you know, you're studying. Look at the base defense. Look at every single, in my case, line stunt and stuff like that. Because you don't want to be hesitant. That could be, you want to have every single play that you have, give yourself the best chance to win that rep and then be as competitive as possible.
You're onto something. Here's what Dylan Raiola said he needs to work on, needs to continue working
there
on throughout
go.
Spring
See?
Ball.
Yeah, I think creating explosive plays has been you know, probably one of the better things I've done. And I think something I got to catch up on is, you know, the protections, understanding where my answers are and things like that. So I think it's just the scheme wise catching up. You know, obviously having Heinrich being able to teach us the scheme. Very lucky to have him in the room and have some experience on the field.
Uncle Jay knows what's up.
I'm the prophet, man. Mm-hmm. See, that's what the word I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
Jay Stradamus.
Yeah, there it is. There. Well, I did predict somebody was going to get hit. And yeah, he did. He was still standing. You know what I mean? He's like Black Steel out there. He's like Valerian Steel. I mean, he took that bump and kept on ticking. He kept on rolling, kept a licking, kept on ticking. But yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, learning the why, man. And I'll never forget, you know, my dad telling me this. And obviously I played, you know, always played running back, offense in high school. And then I remember him telling me this when I was a running back too. You know, I had some success my junior year, you know, you're getting recruited and all this other stuff. And he's like, you need to know what the whole offensive line is doing, what the tight ends are doing, what the receivers are doing on every single play, not just what you were doing. You need to be a well-rounded player. And I never really understood what he meant when he initially told me. And then we had a conversation. He's like, you got to understand why a play will work, where it will work. And it's not just what you practice. It's about what defense they could run. So he's like, you need to know the lines. You need to know everything. He's like, and so he taught me that at a real young age. And then when I switched over to defense, he's like, you need to obviously learn what you need to do, but then learn the defensive line stunts, learn how different players play certain base defenses. Because here's an example, right? So Christian Peter and Jason Peter, they're like the ultimate duo. Christian, brute strength, pass rushing ability, bull rusher. Jason, a better athlete, taller, just a different type of player. Well, then their backup, say, was Jeff Olgaard and Scott Saltzman at one point in time. Or even say like Larry Townsend and Jason Jenkins, right? Larry Townsend looked like it was just, he's the dude you want to get off the bus, right? But he played a more finesse game, even though he's as big or was about the same size as Christian. Whereas you have Scott Saltzman, who played behind Jason. So Jason Peter, he's probably about 6'5", easily 6'5", legit 6'4", I think 6'5".
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right? Scott Saltzman might have been 6'1", maybe 255, quick, mm-hmm. Right? So how does that affect the linebacker, right? I have two guys that can anchor in there and allow me to run free versus a guy that's gonna be more of a one gap up the field type of guy.
Mm. So how does that change your responsibility, how you get off the ball, step is?
Yeah, when Saltzman's in there or Olgar is gonna be in there, I gotta be a thumper. I gotta get that off the double team. I gotta expect a tackle to come down on me a little bit quicker because the tackle's saying, okay, the guard can handle on a quick double team. He can slip up to the second level. Well, that means I got to probably play a little bit more faster and quicker over the top and then quickly downhill. Or if I'm going underneath based on what he's doing, I got to be more or less to shoot the gap versus I can play more honest with Jason and Christian, and then I'll play off Jason as well because I know he's going to be – when he gets – you know, I had to know his stance when he was really going to be trying to – you know, third and long, he's trying to get upfield. I got to understand that. Because if they run a draw play, I got to understand he might be widening a little bit, so I can't vacate that gap. So these are just the things that you get from being at home right now. You know, obviously you get your schoolwork done. So instead of watching Friends, you know, for the same show 15 times, I'm trying to watch this. I'm trying to watch some game tape from last year. I'm trying to watch somebody I might want to emulate my game afterwards. I want to watch maybe somebody, say like in the quarterback's case, somebody that, I don't know, let's just say South Carolina, right? Because that's where Satterfield came from, you know, with the scheme. Watch them when they were at their best. running certain plays. I'm sure there's cut-ups galore that they can get a hold of, or you can ask for it, and then really study in there and put yourself into that game. The mental reps are so huge for young guys.
When you're saying watch film, and I just want to clear this up for anyone that might not have ever had their hands on a playbook, you're not just watching the TV broadcast.
Oh, no. You're watching the, I guess,
like all 22?
All 22.
Okay. Do you get anything from behind the quarterback or facing the offense, all those angles?
It's different, right? So when you're watching it, say, behind the defense or behind the quarterback, it helps me, number one, if I'm watching it from behind the defense to the offense, now I can look at offensive lineman stance, kind of try to pick up on their, like, you know, little nuances with their body and the cadence, maybe get, you know, when they're going to snap the ball. Look at where they actually, when they motion, how far they get outside of the tackle box, if there's not a tight end, or outside of where the tight end is, how displaced he becomes, the timing of when they run certain run plays or pass plays. And then, you know, on the flip side, when you're watching behind the quarterback and say as an offensive player, you can watch, okay, well, when he's really rushing from the outside, if he's in a 2-point stance, is he really forward leaning? Does he have his arm swinging? Does everything look the same? That's why I'm a big believer in whether you're playing man or zone, if you really, really get locked in, you can run with any motion and shifts. That really will give the offense fits because they use motions and shifts to see if you're in man or zone.
Yeah, man, so they diagnose it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you, what I call rock and roll your safeties from depth? Can you have a safety that looks like he's in the box, be athletic enough and also in tuned enough with the offensive scheme to go from in the box safety to deep middle. or on the hash or half field safety, or you know what I mean, or a quarter safety? Can you do it? That's how you become a next level defense. That's when you think, like, okay, the defense was good last year. I was reading where they're 13th in overall defense, maybe 11th in scoring defense, or you know, give or take, or something like that. Well, when you want to try to go to the next level, these are the things that you give each player, and every player should challenge themselves to be better at. Can I be just a little bit better at getting off blocks? Can I really understand when I need to set the edge outside the tight end, or can I take a calculated gamble and blow up the tight end and set the edge inside the tight end? And there's a distinct difference, and it's based on where the action starts when it's attacking you, right on ball side, or does it come from the backside? And how, and it can go in the action or the potential coming strong side can change based on if the running back shifts or the tight end or motion. So you got to understand, you know, and when you do that, you're going to, like, all these things that I'm talking about will come up in the season. That's what, those are the things that used to, when we were really playing well here and when we were really playing well, like on any defense I was a part of, those are the conversations we had at the training table. Those are the conversations we had in the locker room. Those are the conversations we had and third down meetings in the NFL after hard practice, in the weight room, on the plane, on the bus ride, and then obviously here at Nebraska. Those are the things that when you're really, really trying to be the best and be a well-rounded defense and a well-rounded player, those are things you talk about. On top of the basics now.
Right. See, that really stands out to me, because when I think of spring, I think of install. I think of some individual work. But what you're saying for the next level is noticing the arm swings, noticing the weight distribution. Yeah. So like Isaac Gifford saying, hey, Ty, I noticed when we're doing a stunt and you're going inside, you favor this way. You're not playing straight up. You're almost cheating a little bit to give a step. Is that what those great teams do to take that next step? Well, is they notice these little things on film and make it all look as similar as possible?
You should, and you should be doing that individually every spring. Because every spring you're starting over.
But if you ask me to like diagnose myself, I'm sure it'd be hard for me to see, like, just what I do. You know, it feels natural. So that's almost where it feels like you need a teammate-to-teammate accountability. Right. Hey, I saw this in watching film. I noticed this. Do you notice yourself doing this?
When I used to come off the field, I had used to talk to so when I'd come off the field, I'd talk to Ben Butenbach and or Carlos Pope. And we'd go over everything. Like, okay, we had Levin Robber. Okay, they came with a, you know, half boot, waggle. Okay, be prepared for it. Oh, what do you think? Okay, this is what I saw from the right guard. We saw it on tape. Remember when we talked about that? When they are in 11 personnel and get the trips, and any type of former trips, late in the play clock is outside run. Those are all the things you try to work. Those are the things you work on right now because you're going against the offense that's going to provide some sort of pressure on you that's going to test your fundamentals. Spring is about foundation, fundamentals. But just because that's the basis of it, install, that they're installing the defense. So this is getting better at the defense. So you're setting the foundation and you're installing the standard, the work ethic, the want to. You got to love this game. I cannot emphasize it enough. Your confidence comes from your work, true work, not when everybody's watching, not in front of the camera, not on the internet. You don't need to tell them you're grinding. You're showing them that you're grinding. And then it's the extra things that you do to become great. And that's how, and if you get more guys willing to do that, to, you know, sell out and you know, what do you say, buy in or whatever the, you know, the phrase is for 2024, it works. You start to exceed expectations. You start to raise the standard. You start to hold yourself more accountable than, say, team rules, or then you'd be able to hold somebody else accountable and they can hold you accountable. And then that's where you have that great competition. I want to beat Austin out, but when we step on that field, you know, against UTEP, we're playing our best. And that's what I always talked about. You operate individually. Because when I used to roll down 10th Street or whatever it is right here, go to the stadium, yes, I want to play my best game. But what are the reasons for? Not only for myself, my family, and all the other stuff, I want to play for my teammates. I want to play for my team. I want to play for my coaches because I feel like that's my job and that's what I own. So you're operating individually. You're thinking collectively. I never took a chance that was outside of the realms for the betterment of the team.
You mentioned spring is about fundamentals. What are the fundamentals you're working on as a defense, and what are the fundamentals you're trying to put pressure on for the offense?
Oh, I mean, well, defense, you know, I'm sure they want, you're always trying to, you know, be better at this, you know, your base defense, kind of what, you know, where you just, you got to roll it, right? Which is what I mean is if you're, don't get the call in, you got to have a couple play at defense. So you want to have your base defense that you hang your hat on. You want to be better at that. So, but you want to be better at understanding the defense, understanding your gap integrity, owning your gap, playing, you know, doing your job and then playing football. You know, tackling, communication is always key because I feel like that allows you to play more freer. So essentially you control everybody by just over-communicating. You want to build depth. You want to be able to see guys compete a little bit more, or, you know, win 50-50 matchups, create an environment that you put enough pressure on the offense that they got to understand they can't afford a day off. You want to be able to try to create more turnovers. How do you create more turnovers? Get more bodies to the ball with the right play entry, but then also with the right force, right? And more hats to the ball, more forced fumbles, more opportunities for a young offense led by three young quarterbacks right now, right? More opportunities equal more points. Offensively, what do you want to do? You want to obviously running, blocking, tackling, taking care of the ball. We want to be a better running team, execute better offensive line. We want to take our best games and continue to make that the bottom line standard, right? Coach Samuel had the best thing that he ever told me. And he's like, look, Chief. That's what he called her. He's like, you're a young pup. He's like, there's going to be days that you don't have it physically, mentally. He's like, but you got to have to be able. He's like, you got to understand the 85 rule. He's like, did you ever have the 85 rule up there with Coach Mike Grant, son of Butt Grant, coached your dad, the great Chuck Foreman, up there at Eden Prairie High School? And I was like, no. I was like, we ain't even have 85 dudes on the team. So I was like, what is it? He's like, you have to be able to, on your worst days, grade out at 85% or higher. On your worst days. Because that's winning football. That's championship football. And he's like, you can't have that be the normal. But that's the worst that you can be, to be out there. And that's where that you got to have that on, like, offense, defense, and special teams. And so it's every day for this team is a way to find a way to get better. You got, you know, and as you go along in spring ball, you shouldn't be looking forward to the end. You should be looking at, like, this is another day to get better because we have a lot to prove, a lot. 5 wins is okay, right? But we got to be making a bowl game. We got to make some noise because we got a lot of great things going. But they'll be even greater if we start winning some games. Some real, that goes without saying, but it starts right now. You're laying your foundation out right now. So, anyways, good first segment, that 5 o'clock hour. We're going to get a big push into Commissioner Foreman about this Super League and how I'd run it and how it gets to the point of what I think it should be and run it. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. We'll be right back.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.